And that local news is brought to you by Johnson's Auto Care. Trust Johnson's to serve and repair your foreign vehicles too. Honda, Subaru, Toyota, BMW, and Volkswagen. Johnson's Auto Care, Route 302 North Conway, or visit them online at johnsonsautocare.com. I'm Greg Frizzell here, general manager and owner of the Mount Washington Radio Group. You're listening to 93.5 WMWV, Magic 104.5 FM, and 98.1 FM. I'm here with Gino Devaney as well, helping me out. And we're online with Art Matheson, the president of Memorial Hospital, on the phone, and with Dr. Matthew Dunn, the chief medical officer at Memorial Hospital, doing a new kind of live drive time here for you, which we'll be doing for the next several weeks, and getting your questions answered by local authorities, things regarding the coronavirus. Welcome, Art, and Dr. Dunn.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, great. So we'll get back to some questions. We've had a bunch come in. I'd also like to thank our sponsors, by the way, Leone McDonald Roberts, Cooper Cargill Chant, and Settlers Green, Settlers Crossing, and Settlers Village. So we've got a question here. It says, Memorial Hospital called a code white. What does that mean?
Okay, I'll get into that in just a second, but I wanted to give a late-breaking update because I said that as of last night, we had a total of 108 positive tests in the state, and about 20 minutes ago, that was updated, and now the state of New Hampshire has 137 positive tests, but we still have 7 in Carroll County. So no change in Carroll County and 29 more tests. Positive test since yesterday.
Wow. Okay. Great information.
Yep. And now on to the code white. So we called the code white because of the coronavirus and the increases we were seeing in Europe and also starting in the United States about 18 days ago. And a code white essentially is something you call when something is occurring in the hospital that is well outside of normal operations, and it is going to call upon a great deal of resources to include people, equipment, and supplies.
All right. Now, I think Gino has another question from a listener.
Yep, somebody texting in. Again, that number is 603-356-9145. And I just want to say here, this person says, if we maintain a minimum 6-foot distance, don't touch anything, wear gloves, go through all the proper precautions, even limit the gathering to 10 people or fewer, can they still go outside and exercise and hike and all of that?
You want that one, Matty?
So, yeah, I think most of us, a lot of us that live in the Valley are fans of being outside and fans of exercise. I think the guidance is really limited exposure. I think if we could limit our contact with people, and the best thing we know we can do is to either social distance or severely limit contact. You know, the number 10 is thrown out there. I don't know if there's a magic number or a safe number, but significantly limiting our contacts with people, being close to them, and being safe is what we need to do. I certainly am a fan of being outside, but I think we need to do it responsibly.
And so basically, if you're outside and let's say you're going on a run with someone or a walk or something like that, what are you specifically trying? Obviously, not touching those type of contacts, but also, you know, obviously you're breathing. You might even be breathing heavy from those activities. How do you make sure that you're not contaminating the person or group you're with?
Well, I come from a running background, so what I would do is just make sure if I was going with one, maybe two other people, that they're a lot slower than me, and that I would just drop them and keep a mile distance. No, I'm just kidding. You know, we kind of get into this, and we were laughing a little bit because some of these things really are in the gray area, and at the end of the day, as I agree completely with what Matt said. Follow the 6-foot rule. There's been things talking about, well, you shouldn't go outside at all. I think you have to use your best judgment. Follow the basic guidelines. What I would do going out and running is stay 6 feet in front of the person or 6 feet behind You know, if you're right beside each other and you're breathing hard and you're a foot apart, I don't think that's smart. But use your common sense and your best judgment, and I think that's the way to go.
I have another question here that's texted in. Not to change the subject, but we'll move on from that one. Talking about takeout. Right now, the big message is obviously we're trying to eat local and push that message aside. But is it possible to still catch the virus through takeout food, through the passage of food and all that?
Well, all right. Matt pointed at me to answer this one.
Okay.
It's another tough question.
Yeah.
But I would go back to this. I think that what we're talking about with this virus in something like takeout is a personal choice. But I think it's a personal choice mutually exclusive of coronavirus. A lot of times things happen with other viruses. How many people get a cold every once in a while? I get a cold usually once a year. How do I catch it? I'm not sure. I think the bottom line is, again, go back to follow the basic guidelines and use your best judgment. Wash your hands, and wash your hands again. But I can tell you, and I'll just give you my opinion, is I follow all the guidelines, but I love the food in the Valley, and the Matheson family is getting takeout at least once or twice a week. Because we choose to do so, we're taking social distancing. I know the takeout folks, the delivery guys and gals that are coming here, they are taking precautions because we see what they do, and they stay far from us, and they say they drop it off, and they step back, and they make sure that they have that distance. We're paying by credit card, over the phone. And people are really doing the right things, and we're still able to have some semblance of normalcy with following the rules that we should follow as citizens in the Valley.
All right, that sounds great. I've got another question here. It's actually a couple of questions meshed together from a few listeners. They're looking to basically what they're asking is the preparedness of Memorial Hospital. How many beds do you have available? Ventilators? The tent issue has come up. I guess what they're looking for is how's the capacity and how are you feeling about your readiness for this?
So I'll start this question and then I'll hand it to Matt. And so this is From my background, the rule that I follow, and usually it has proven well, with planning for something like this, or in the past when planning for an Army training event or deployment, you plan for the worst-case scenario. And so when you're saying, and I'll give the example, probably 4 weeks ago, Matt and I came up with the idea of the first tent. We call it now small tent. And I actually thought, well, maybe, and I kind of chuckled, well, maybe we don't need it. And usually when you think that, well, should I or shouldn't I, in a situation like this, you should. And that's kind of the rule of thumb, because most of the time it's just enough, or maybe sometimes it could be not even enough, and so you always have that angst of trying to be a good steward of resources. But what we're finding is not only did we want one tent, but we decided to put the large tent up for a number of reasons. And so that's the rule that I follow, and I have told our staff at the end of this, if people come back to me and say, well, Art, you didn't need the large tent. Well, Art, you didn't need extra beds in the hospital. My answer will be, well, then I was successful as the leader of this organization planning for something that I'm seeing across the world as being pretty serious. Matt?
Yeah, and I'll say, you know, looking at what's going on across the world, planning for as many contingencies as we can here, we're looking at every resource in the hospital, every space, planning for surge across those, planning for equipment needs, including ventilators, all the equipment needed to run the ventilators, all the people we need to run the ventilators, staff expansion to include clinical staff, physicians, providers, food contingencies, and really trying to make sure that we can do everything we can here as an organization to protect the community as well as the people that are working here so that we can provide care. You know, Art mentioned there's little known about this. This is unprecedented. We're looking at growth curves all over the place, everything from very steep to South Korea being able to flatten their curve because of what they did in terms of social distancing and being somewhat isolated. It is hard to predict where this is going, but we are planning for as much as we can here.